Good morning, it's Dr. Peter speaking, and today I would like to welcome Dr. Christina Beer from Ashmore. Christina is a general practitioner with a special interest in lifestyle medicine. Welcome to Medical Matters.
Hi, Peter. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Christine. Now, osteoarthritis, it seems to be a very common condition. Can you tell me about osteoarthritis?
Sure. Well, a lot of people have heard of arthritis, and osteoarthritis is one of the types of arthritis. It's the most common type of arthritis. It's an arthritis that happens as we get older, more commonly, and it's the wear and tear arthritis. So it'll affect your knees, your hips, your ankles to some degree, and shoulders as well. It can be quite painful, actually. A lot of people are suffering from arthritis and not getting the appropriate treatment for it.
Now, you said it's one of the forms of arthritis.
Yes. Well,
but the other one is rheumatoid arthritis. Is there any association between the two, or can you tell me the difference?
Yes. Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune condition. So it is primarily something that very few people have. It's not as common as osteoarthritis. It is triggered by an autoimmune process where your joints are destroyed by your body, and that has a very specific type of treatment. So that is not the most common type. The most common type is the wear and tear arthritis that you or I could get, and that's the osteoarthritis.
So why is osteoarthritis so common? Is it because we're living longer?
Primarily, it's really a wear and tear. So if we've used our joints very frequently, they are really going to be subject to something called osteoarthritis. I primarily see it in the setting where individuals have, for instance, had an injury, or they've had a profession that's required them to use a particular part of their body frequently. For instance, rugby players and knees, I see that quite commonly. People that have had to use their shoulders with labouring or with cleaning type work, that can go as well. The other instance that I do see them, and things that do make it worse, is if you're carrying a little bit of extra weight. That puts a lot of pressure on your joints, and that can cause wear and tear of your joints prematurely.
So, in other words, we should lose weight if we're of our knees.
There's certainly some strategies that we can put into place to reduce our aches and pains associated with the arthritis, and one of them is to lose weight. Yeah. Easier said than done, I know, but it is actually one of the best strategies to lose a lot of the pain associated with osteoarthritis of our back, our lower back, as well as our knees, because you can get arthritis in your back as well.
Does it run in families?
There is a genetic tendency for arthritis. For instance, if mum had knobbly fingers, and you notice that your fingers are shaped the same way, there is a tendency that therefore you are more predisposed. An example that I can think of is that my husband's body shape is similar to his father's, and his father's has a lot of arthritis. And Brad is a physio, and he's very physiotherapist that is, and he's very mindful of the fact that his body takes after his dad's, and he's got some of the genetic tendencies to develop arthritis like his dad. So he's very careful to be very protective of his joints.
Well, at some future date, if Brad's a physio, I'm going to have to get him in and ask him questions about arthritis as well.
Because, perfect. He's an expert in that area.
Well, he sounds like he's become a self-interested expert. There's a degree of self-interest, but that's allowed. Now, you were talking about reducing the pain in arthritis.
Yes.
So one is losing weight.
Yes.
And I guess there are medications as well. What's available?
There are lifestyle things that can be done, and those lifestyle things any of us can do. We don't require seeing a doctor about any of that sort of side of thing, and that is losing weight. Now, that's very hard if you're in pain. To lose weight, to exercise, to lose weight is very hard when you're in pain. The next step really is to go and see your GP. Have it diagnosed. Have other serious things ruled out, like rheumatoid arthritis, and that is a blood test and a scan, an X-ray scan or a CAT scan if it's your spine. Have those things ruled out. Often it's clinical diagnosis too. So your GP has seen so many thousands of cases of osteoarthritis, they'll be able to pick that. The other thing to look out for, I guess, is any other serious things that you might have as well, which is you shouldn't be having pain at night time when it comes to arthritis. So pain at night is more suggestive of something more serious, more inflammatory going on, and that needs to be looked into too, as well as the other red flag of weight loss. So once those have been ruled out by the GP can then prescribe you some osteoarthritis medication. The medications that exist for osteoarthritis are called Panadol Osteo. Many people have heard of Panadol Osteo. The thing that people don't realise about Panadol Osteo is you need to take it every day for it to be effective. You can't just take it when you're in pain. It doesn't work like Panadol. It doesn't. You don't have it. You don't take it just as needed. It needs to be taken every day. And the most effective results, the studies have shown, it has to be taken 2 tablets 3 times a day. Now, that sounds like a lot. It's 6 tablets a day. The way the medication is set up is to be slow release into the system. And so your best results are going to be taken 2 tablets 3 times a day. And it really does take about a week to kick in. So a lot of individuals, I find, grin and bear the pain. They live with a daily level of discomfort. And then they find their mobility and their exercise levels decline as their pain is always present, and that's going to make situations a lot worse. So Brad can probably share more light on this, but the more pain you're in, the more your muscles that surround the joints disengage, and therefore the weaker your muscles get around the joints, and you don't get protection of the joints. So that's another strategy. If you can try and see maybe a physio or maybe your exercise, health professional, they can give you some exercises to strengthen the muscles around the joints to protect the joints.
So, this is very interesting because I think a lot of patients particularly think painkillers you take when you've got pain, but they're not thinking that you should actually take painkillers to prevent pain, and that's what you're telling us. If you can prevent the pain, you're going mm-hmm. to be more mobile, more mm-hmm. active, mm-hmm. and that's going to build your muscles, and it's going to make you a healthier person.
That's correct. And look, the end goal would be, it would be fantastic to not have to take medication, but sometimes, even if it's for a short-term period, you're going to probably, if you find yourself in the situation where you're in daily pain with movement, taking the medication till such a time as your body is strong enough that you don't need to take it anymore. So, and sometimes you have to stay on them long term, and that's maybe just a function of the fact that the joints are quite worn down, and your GP will know to be able to distinguish what side of the spectrum you lie. Certainly I think that's a very good point, Peter, that the Panadol Osteo for osteoarthritis does not work like normal Panadol and other painkillers.
Do any natural vitamins work for osteoarthritis?
There is some research, interesting enough, which a lot of people have heard about the benefits of fish oil for joints.
Yes.
The amount that you need to take, though, for joint protection is quite a lot. So with that, it's up to 6 capsules a day for joints. Yeah, so that's the most. So for heart, it's 3. For joints, it's 6. Krill oil is your most concentrated form of fish oil. That's probably going to be easier to take because it's half the dose. So it's 3 of those a day for joints. What fish oil is proposed to do is provide a level of anti-inflammatory properties. So reduce the inflammation in the joints, reduce the amount of pain.
I guess people should be aware that fish oils and all these vitamins aren't without side effects themselves.
That's
now,
true.
You can get bloated feeling and gas and all sorts of things. Do you see many patients with that, or is it uncommon?
The one primarily that I see the most commonly is reflux.
Okay.
So that repeating on yourself from the fish oil. I would look for a krill oil or a fish oil that is enteric coated. So coated so that it doesn't break down in your stomach and give you that reflux feeling. The other thing to keep in mind is if you are on fish oil, it thins your blood. So if you're also on a little aspirin a day, which is your Cartia, your Asterix, or just your half an aspirin, a lot of people are on that for heart protection. Just keep in mind that both of those are going to increase your bruising and your bleeding risk. So if you're going for surgery, if you're having major dental procedures done, make sure you let your health professional know beforehand so that they can probably stop that 24 hours before you have that work done.
I think as we get older, it's a good idea to actually take a list of medications in our wallet for all our healthcare professionals, because I remember people used to just not tell me things because they say, well, you're just an eye doctor.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah,
why would I tell you? You only look after my eyes.
And you would know about that. Yeah.
And of course, it's very important because the last thing you want is bleeding into an eye at the time of surgery.
Oh, wow. Yes, good point. Yeah.
So how do I prevent osteoarthritis in the first place?
Sorry, Pete, the other one is glucosamine, which a lot of people have heard
tell
of
me about
too. Glucosamine. Yeah.
I think my dog was on that at one stage.
For the joints,
for
arthritis.
The joints,
glucosamine is another of the agents that they say can be helpful for arthritis. It's very individual. It works for some and doesn't work for others. That's been my personal anecdotal experience. It's worth trying. It's worth trying a good quality brand from, the chemist or a health food store. And it's meant to provide cushioning for the joints, so provide some of the material needed for cushioning the joints. It is worth a shot. Just like fish oil, you're going to need to give it a good try of 3 months to see a benefit. So take it once, see no benefit is not going to be much of help. You do need to take it for 3 months to see if you're going to have a benefit. The thing to watch out for glucosamine, there is some preliminary research to suggest that diabetics, it can worsen your blood sugars. So just keep in mind, check your blood sugars. If you've just started it, make sure that you are having your regular diabetic checks with your GP, which involves obviously your blood testing and things, just to make sure it's not altering your blood sugars. So that's a theoretical risk, but it's it's something to keep in mind too, especially if you're a type 1 or insulin dependent diabetic. It's very important to keep that in check. The question I think, what can you do to prevent arthritis? Was the next question, what can we do? The first thing is really to keep in mind protecting your joints. And your joints are based on load and wear. So if things are not feeling, if you're feeling like you're in pain, that's a sign that things need to be checked. So if you're doing a repetitive activity and you're in pain, you need to go and have that looked into. It might be that your muscles aren't strong. It might be that you're carrying a bit of extra weight. It might be that you need to have an assessment of the way your feet are, for instance, with orthotics, which can cause a lot of wear and tear in your knees if your feet aren't aligned and if your feet arches are collapsing when you walk, for instance. Now, obviously, I'm not an expert in that area. That's more a podiatrist or a physiotherapy realm, but certainly seeing your GP gives you some ideas as to what you can do to prevent things from getting worse. They're your main things that really prevent the osteoarthritis from happening in the first place.
And don't have an injury.
That's a big one. If you have, a lot of people had car accidents, haven't they? Or football injuries.
Or skiing injuries.
Oh, goodness. I mean, you can live in a bubble, can't you? And pray that nothing happens. But in reality, I often say to my patients, you either be active and risk arthritis or not be active and risk premature death from heart disease. So I would rather people be active and risk the little wear and tear injuries that a lot of athletes and a lot of people get from being active than the converse, which is getting all of the lifestyle related illnesses. So
Now when you go and see the doctor or the orthopedic surgeon or the physio, a lot of times we have some x-ray investigations.
Yes.
They can just be plain x-rays, they can be CAT scans or they can be MRIs.
And,
but I guess the good knowledge, the good rule about that is none of those hurt, do they?
In terms of the scans. I think the main, your GP will know which ones you need, which ones you definitely do not need and which ones you do need. I think it is worthwhile if you are suffering some significant pain to go and see your GP, and your GP will say, let's start with an x-ray. Let's start with that. If that's not showing us much, we'll take it one level up. The MRI for the knees has no radiation associated with it, but are very expensive. The CAT scan for spines does not have a personal cost most of the time with that. It's bulk billed, but it's 200 times the radiation of an X-ray. So that's some things to keep in mind. If you need it, your GP will know and they will advise you. So trust their opinion, trust them with what they guide you on, which ones you need. If you go and see a surgeon, they will require you to have those things in place, those next level investigations in place. For most times, to be honest, osteoarthritis is a clinical diagnosis. It really is. We've ruled out the red flags. You don't have any weight loss. You don't have any night sweating or pain at night time. You don't have any significant obvious inflammation of your joint, which is swelling, redness, hot joints. It's likely to be wear and tear osteoarthritis.
So the general practitioner, when you say does surgery fix it, I guess when the general practitioner is worried, he'll send you along to an orthopaedic surgeon or a rheumatologist or probably an orthopaedic surgeon. Is that?
If it's osteoarthritis. And then they will go take it one step further. Look, if it's really bad, that's when you get your joint replacements, obviously. So that's when you get your knee replacements and your joint replacements. Sometimes there's not a lot that can be done and you just have to manage it. But saying that, great relief can be done if you put in some of these lifestyle things into place. I know that sounds crazy and not the case, but honestly, some people completely pain-free if they put in some of the lifestyle things, which is doing a bit of physical activity, taking your panel osteo, getting out of enough pain so that you can exercise without discomfort, going and seeing someone like a physiotherapist to know what you should be doing, losing a little bit of the weight, the load on your joints. Sometimes you can completely avoid surgery.
So when you say, when should I see a doctor about it? I mean, this is what used to shock me as an eye surgeon. A lot of people just no longer had general practitioners. And I used to say to them, the general practitioner is probably the most important doctor you need because he's the one that'll know where to go to. Mm. Like I used to see a person and say, well, I'm sorry, there's no eye cause of your headaches, but I don't know why you're getting them. Go back to your GP. Well, it sounds like an osteoarthritis, the GP really can be a great, as always, but he's the one, or he or she, I should say, is the one with the knowledge to send you in the right direction.
That's what we're trained, to do. We don't necessarily have very detailed knowledge about everything. That's your specialist realm, but we have a very broad knowledge in lots of different areas, and that's often why we're attracted to general practice, because we like being the jack of all trades. We like knowing a little bit about everything. So with osteoarthritis, it's so common. We know a lot about osteoarthritis. So, do come and see us about that, and then we can guide you, into surgery. We can guide you into that realm. So,
And this is yet again, I think, something that's not a one-stop visit that you get a pill and be cured. It's going to be, as you said, weight loss. It's going to be exercise programs. It's going to be medications. Mm. There's going, there's a significant lifestyle change, which I personally find hard, and which you must find hard as a GP managing.
It is difficult. Anything, I think, that's worth it is a process, but rest assured that when you do go and see a GP, immediate relief can be given in terms of pain. That significantly can be reduced. Your quality of life can increase drastically. But yes, it will be a process to get full resolution of the issue. Give us a good 3 months to get things sorted, 3 to 6 months. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth investing in your health and that sort of long-term point of view.
Thank you, Christina, and I hope you come back to another Medical Matters.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter. Thank you.